Please speak.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime, or maybe something special. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised, and I just want to start this off by saying this is our special edition Halloween episode, and I have the pleasure of having two special awesome people here with me today. Hi, Austin. Hi, Josh.
Ooh.
Oh, hello.
Ooh, gosh. What is that? That's a ghost?
Ooh. I'm not a shopping list.
Oh, my gosh. He was number one. Hi, guys. It is so good to be here. This is our super secret special Halloween edition of Out of the Drying Pan.
Yeah, we're doing SpongeBob Halloween episode.
We could have done that.
We could have done that. We should have done that.
We got something really awesome, I think, planned. Maybe next year we'll do the SpongeBob Halloween. But for now, we've got something else. But before we jump into what we're doing this week, how is everyone? What's been going on?
Not much. I have nothing to say.
That's not true. You have big, exciting news.
Like what?
You got something special today. You got an upgrade.
I got a TV.
Finally.
God knows I use a TV every day, so I have to get a new one. Because my previous one was all fucked up.
I told Austin, okay, I think we need to set the stage a little bit because this is a story that's worth telling. Years ago, how long have you had that other TV? Years. Definitely years.
Ever since the one I had before, it was fried by a lightning bolt.
Yeah, so Austin's first TV was fried by a lightning bolt. So then he got a second TV, and almost immediately after Austin got the second TV, I noticed that it was fucking up, and I was like, Austin.
Oh, you noticed.
I did notice, and I told you, and I said, you should go, because I'm sure it's still under warranty, and you should, you know, swap it out, because what happened to that other TV was, like, you'd be watching something, and, like, you'd get to a dark scene, and then the TV would just power itself off.
Yeah.
It would just stop working. It would just turn off.
It didn't want to be a TV that day.
No.
Or any day.
It was like, nah, I'm not doing this. I told Austin for a long time, and then he never did anything about it until today, which I'm so proud. He got a new TV. Congratulations, Austin.
Josh, have you ever seen my TV freaking out?
I have not. It always worked when I was over.
Okay, great. This is a monumental occasion. I'm doing my horror movie marathon that I do every year, where I try to watch one new horror movie for each day of October. And so if I miss one day, I may have to watch two movies the next day, which is exhausting.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know you were doing all that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we know all Halloween movies are known for their light and joyous lighting and scene direction. So no dark scenes at all in a Halloween movie. Anyway.
All right, what spooky things are you up to, Josh?
Yeah, what's going on, Josh?
Well, I've been taking a blacksmithing class. It's been pretty fun.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is my second round of that. This time, I'm making a belt buckle right now.
That's pretty exciting. You can hold up your pants and everything.
Yeah. Every one I buy breaks.
But not this one.
Hopefully, yeah.
What are you doing to your belt?
I don't know. Beats me.
It can't handle his pants, clearly.
Or maybe they're too tight. Are you wearing, like, tight jeans or something?
Not particularly. I mean, you've seen roughly what I wear.
I think everything is just really cheaply made nowadays.
Yeah, that's the problem. What it is it's those ones with the where there's a single pivot point where you can flip it over. There's a brown belt on one side, black belt on the other. So it's just this one glued-in rivet thing that's holding the whole thing together, and that thing just snaps after a couple of years.
Oh yeah, I got one of those belts, and I love that thing. It's all fucked up. That buckle, like one of the screw holding it in, came out at some point, and so I had to like pray to God that it works. But I fucking love that belt.
Yeah. They're super convenient.
Maybe you can make belt buckles for all your friends, Josh. Anything else, you guys? Anything else you want to mention?
Alex, are you doing anything spooky?
What am I doing? Aside from tomorrow's activity? Not really.
Are you going to go as the woman from Troll 2?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so Austin and I watched Troll 2 the other day. And I instantly fell in love with it because it was a fantastic movie. I don't give a fuck what anybody else says. Kind of up there on like mythic, like The Room status, I think.
I think The Room's more fun.
I did not hit her.
But yeah, I love Troll 2. Credence Leonor Gielgud is my absolute favorite cinema character now. And I want to go as her for Halloween. I'll probably dress up at work. They don't ever have any rules against that.
I'm going as a dickhead in a suit.
A dickhead in a suit?
As a dickhead? Is that like a conehead? What is a dickhead?
Work and stuff. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
That's about it. Nothing else really going on. At least not this week. I'm sure we'll have more to talk about as the actual Halloween rolls closer. But in the spirit of the Halloween season, we wanted to do something fun for Out of the Drawing Pan. So I think this episode is going to come out on next Saturday.
Saturday before Halloween.
Yeah.
Assuming I can get it done.
I'm sure we believe in you, Austin. But yeah, we're talking about Ghost Stories, the anime, this week. So who wants to start talking about this? Like, does anybody have any background on this anime they want to give?
I'll give just a little real world context, and that is Jacob is the one who picked this out for our Halloween special.
Yes.
And then he dared to have a child and leave us.
I can't believe he's done this.
By the way, we talked to him the other day. He's out, by the way.
Okay, so I feel like we need to address this in a proper way. So yes, Jacob is going to be on indefinite hiatus from the podcast.
Due to the recent allegations,
yes. We can't talk about it. We're under an NDA.
Yep.
But yeah, so just to all you listeners out there wondering if Jacob was going to come back anytime soon, until we know differently, the answer is no. So it's going to be just me and Austin primarily, and then whatever special guest hosts that we end up having on that week, if they can join. But yes, that is our format going forward. So we just wanted to let everybody know officially.
Yep.
That was the spooky news.
Who has some spooky information about Ghost Stories?
Josh, do you have any background? Because I can just read kind of what's on the Wikipedia.
But oh, I've got a little bit of background.
Go for it.
So, general basic story is that, I forget the name of the guy, but there was this teacher who had compiled a bunch of, this is the manga that it's based on. There's a teacher who compiles a bunch of basically superstitions and ghost stories, urban legends that he hears from his students over the years. And manga is a huge hit, such a huge hit that it eventually gets an anime. And they dump a lot of money into this, too.
Sorry. So this was in real life, a teacher, or am I confused?
Real life, the guy who wrote the manga that this is based on was a teacher. And got the idea listening to urban legends that his students either believed or spread over the years.
Hmm. Interesting.
So he kind of compiles them and adds an overarching narrative. And it's a pretty good success. So enough so that it gets an anime. This anime actually has a pretty high animation budget and gets some real talent. There are some people who are in the Japanese dub of Dragon Ball Z and Evangelion, but nobody watches it. So it pretty much just gets shelved, and eventually in a bundle with a couple other anime, it gets sold off on the cheap, with the only conditions being that they can't change the general plot or any of the names of the characters, but they can do whatever else they want with it. So the voice actors and writers for the dub just have fun with it. Basically, eventually there's this rule that whoever gets to the office first writes the first couple lines, and everybody else has to work off of it. So it gets increasingly unhinged with each successive episode.
Yeah, so just to add to, that's a really interesting background, Josh. Thank you for giving us a little bit of the context around it. I just kind of want to add a little bit to that, just to kind of clarify a couple things. It was, I guess, originally the distribution rights, like Western distribution rights, were owned by a company called Fuji TV, and ADV Films was the Western studio that produced an English dub version. So yes, Josh was right. Basically, when they wrote the new version, the only rules were don't change the names, don't change the way the ghosts are slain, and then don't change the core meaning of the episode. But after that, like, kind of anything goes. That's got to be crazy. Whoever gets there first sets the tone of the whole episode.
I would literally never write any lines because I would never be there first.
This anime, it says, okay, according to Slash Film, Hawaii Tron Bui called the dubbed version of Ghost Stories the best and worst anime dub, describing it as raunchy, wildly inappropriate, and self-aware. So there's a lot of, what, like, fourth wall breaking incredibly inappropriate jokes. We only scratched the surface because we're only going to talk about the first two episodes this week, but I would implore anybody to kind of go out and watch it. I think it's only 20 episodes. It's not that long.
Yeah, I have some questions about that. Josh, I don't know if you know. Did it only last 20 episodes because it was not a success? Was it supposed to only be 20 episodes?
They put out one season, and because it bombed, they never made another. I think there's more manga than there is.
Oh, and yeah. They didn't finish up. Have you seen all these dubbed episodes, Josh?
Not all of them, but most.
Okay. Alex and I at one point tried to watch these, and I don't think we got much farther than two episodes.
Yeah, I think we only got a few into it. I mean, I'd watch the rest.
Because I didn't remember any of this at all, to be honest.
I remembered the second episode, but I did not remember anything about the cat or any of that stuff, which we'll talk about, but it'll be fun. I think this is a wild anime. It's absolutely unhinged, and it's just a good time all around. Oh, and by the way, if we didn't mention it, the two episodes are called, first one is Tonight, the Spirits Will Be Resurrected, and the second one is A Hand Reaches Out from the Toilet.
All right, Josh, do you want to do 30 seconds? Alex can do the first one, and I'll do the second one. I'll be the toilet man.
Works for me. Which episode am I doing?
You're going to summarize both episodes in 30 seconds, but we're going to start with the first one. So if you just want to give a brief 30-second summary for the first episode, we'll time you and see what you can do.
Alrighty.
You can make it funny. You can do whatever you want. Ad lib, just like the voice actors did.
I know what I would do if I was in charge of 30 seconds.
Nice.
Tell us after.
Okay, we'll do.
Josh, are you ready? Austin, you want me to time him or you want to time him?
Either way.
All right, Josh, I'll time you, okay?
Alrighty. First episode, here we go.
3, 2, 1, go.
All right, so our episode begins with the protagonist, Mrs. Protagonist Face. I am terrible at remembering character names. She and her younger brother are moving back to their home, to her parents' hometown, following the death of her mother. As they come in, they pass the original school that her parents went to, and the new school that was built right next to it. Episode cold opens, if I remember.
Time.
Oh. I did not do well.
It goes faster than you think.
Gosh. I took 30 seconds to summarize the first 5 seconds.
Yes, that's okay. We can talk about this. Good job.
Participation trophy.
Okay, so tonight the spirits will be resurrected. So, as Josh said, we start off, it's fairly routine for a spoopy ghost anime. You got a teacher. This is like the prologue, I guess. A teacher, is like patrolling the hall of an empty school building in the dead of night, as teachers do, because I guess they like live in the school. You ever think that as a kid, that your teacher lived in the school? I know I did. Austin's looking at me like I'm an insane person.
I wasn't gonna say anything.
Okay, come on, really? You didn't think the teachers, like, when you were like 5 years old, you didn't think like, oh, Mrs. So-and-so lives in the school?
I remember when you run into teachers at, like, the grocery store or whatever, it's like, I don't know how to interact with you now.
No, they don't exist.
I'm going to ignore you. I'm going to ignore you. You're not there.
Or you call them mom by accident. Always embarrassing.
I definitely did that growing up, yeah.
But yeah, so he's attacked by an unseen paranormal force, and then we cue the generic upbeat, happy anime opening. This opening was not what I was thinking it was going to be.
No, not spooky at all.
Not spooky at all. This is generic anime, like, the characters are walking, and then they're running, and then they're looking into the distance, and then, you know, some birds fly by or whatever.
And a song about being a shy schoolgirl for some reason.
Is that what the lyrics were saying?
More or less, what I could grab.
I don't know about where you watched it, Austin, but, like, when Josh and I were watching this, the subtitles, we had English subtitles on, but they were literally the Japanese words spelled out.
So yes, like, me too.
This is not helping.
I watched it on Amazon.
That's where we watched it as well.
Did it look like the picture was cut off?
A little.
Yeah.
It looked like it was too big for the screen. Yeah. I don't know how that works. Like, I guess when they rip it from wherever they rip it from.
The 2000-something DVD.
Sadly, Austin does not have this on physical media like he does with Pokemon anime.
You know what? I almost bought an old early 2000s anime dubbed by ADV Films today.
Oh,
Did you? Because I went to the used bookstore and they had Final Fantasy Unlimited on DVD.
What stopped you?
I thought about it and I thought, do I really need to buy these DVDs for some old anime I've never seen before?
I'm sure you could find
it. Plus, they didn't have volume one. They only had volumes 2 through 7.
Oh, well, the completionist in you could never allow it.
Yeah. Do y'all hear the people screaming outside my window?
No, we don't.
They are making so much noise. And the last time someone made that much noise outside my window, it was my first weekend staying in this condo, and the building was on fire.
Oh, yeah, the gazebo right outside your building burned down.
The gazebo burned to the ground.
We'll peek outside. Is anything on fire?
You know, I'm kind of afraid to check. If I die, I die.
If Austin's that dog sitting in the fire meme, like, this is fine. Just this burning fine. Down around me. Well, hopefully nothing's on fire, but we'll take a break if it is.
Oh, quick question. Sure. This teacher who got killed in the first scene.
Yeah.
Is he ever seen or mentioned again?
No. I don't think so. He kind of looked like the dad, and that really confused me for a second, because all the characters kind of drawn the same, but I don't think it was the dad. Like Josh mentioned, the family, I guess they don't really expound on this, but I kind of got the sense that they had come from this town initially, because it seems like they're moving back to where the protagonist's mother originally lived. So I felt like they're from here. They're just moving back. I'm not sure.
The father said that's where it points to the school and said that's where I met your mother.
Okay, so they're familiar with this town. So they're moving here from wherever. They pass by the schoolhouse. There's a smaller abandoned schoolhouse next to the newer, more modern construction schoolhouse next door. So that's where they'll be attending, and obviously this sets the scene for where we're going to have our spooky stuff happening. They move into the home. It seems like the grandparents already live there.
Is that who those people were?
Yes, because the one boy calls him Grandpa.
Oh, okay.
And Grandpa is going to give Dad some shit because he tells Dad that he's a sick fuck for wanting to live in his dead wife's old house. And that once Grandma kicks the bucket, he's going to, quote, I'll move to Vegas when this bitch kicks. So we're already off to a great start. You can see where this is going. The main character girl, her name is Sotsky, and she makes the acquaintance of the local pervert kid after she accidentally falls down on the ground and flashes him her underwear. So
that made me uncomfy.
That was uncomfy. That was major uncomfy.
Oh, Japan, please change.
You know, watching all these scenes, like, I just really was curious what the original Japanese dub had them say. I'm sure it was something more tame, but I'm not sure. Or maybe not.
That had to have been. They were discussing underwear.
That is true. I guess I can't imagine it was any different then. The next day, they wake up, they go to school. Well, they're trying to go to school, but unfortunately, they're sidetracked because their black cat, whose name is Kaya, escapes the little brother's backpack. Little brother's name is Keichiro.
The little brother shoved their cat into his backpack and brought it to school.
He was gonna bring it to school because he was sad and lonely and doesn't have any friends, so he wanted at least one friend.
I'm not a cat guy. Josh, you are.
Yes.
Would your cat be comfortable with you putting it into a backpack and zipping it up and walking around?
I don't think Julie would go for it. I could probably get Sohn to go into the bag, but she would become immediately agitated if I tried to zip it. Not that I'd ever consider attempting this.
Would they not ride in the bubble backpacks?
Oh, they'd totally do that. But they need, obviously, air and light and to feel at least like they're somewhat in control of the situation. The thing with cats is they need to feel some sense of agency. They're not like dogs where you can just lead them around on a leash.
God, I'm trying to imagine a dog being zipped up in a backpack either.
First dogs and all that.
That's true. But their head's sticking out.
Yeah.
They can see.
I would be concerned about not getting enough air under those circumstances.
Well, I guess Keichiro didn't think of that, because he just sticks the cat in the bag and hopes for the best.
And the best does not happen.
The best does not happen. That cat was fucking out of there. The minute they opened that bag, the cat was gone. It runs off.
Makes sense.
You would do the same if you were a cat. So the cat runs off. Of course, it runs directly into the old abandoned schoolhouse, so they have to chase after it. And they go in, but they're scared by Hajime, the kid from before. The pervert kid. And his friend, Leo. And as they argue, they're interrupted by an older girl named Momoko, who's looking for her hat that blew inside the schoolhouse by a large gust of wind. Momoko's a crazy person. I feel like we need to talk about Momoko.
Did we ever see her hat?
No, we didn't. No, actually, I think they did find her. Yes, they did find the hat. They find the hat.
Oh, they do find the hat. Okay.
They do. They do find the hat.
You can tell I watched this very closely.
It was on top of the first supernatural thing they encounter.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
So Momoko, they took some real liberties with Momoko's lines because Momoko is a born-again Christian evangelical person who claims to have been saved by Jesus, and now, as a result, she has the power to sense evil spirits. As one does.
It's the Bush era.
It is. Yeah. It is. So Satsuki is like, well, you know what? We can't leave here until we find our special cat. That cat first showed up on the day of her mother's funeral. It's got two different color eyes. It's a special cat. So they come across the cat being harassed by a dog that has a human face. And so they freak the fuck out and run into the bathroom. So they come across a couple of other paranormal apparitions that are haunting this schoolhouse, and it becomes very apparent that there's something, you know, crazy going on. So they meet a toilet ghost, like Moaning Myrtle. I guess she's the ghost that hangs out in the toilet. And a headless motorcyclist, and also the ghost of Edward Scissorhands.
This was kind of scary, to be honest.
Which one was the scariest one?
I think of the rapid succession.
Of like, it. The bunch of different things happening.
Yeah, the boom, boom, boom. That's what's scary to me.
And they also, like Josh mentioned earlier, they also find the hat on a... Okay, this was the scariest one to me, was outside there's a statue. And then inside they turn the corner and see that same statue in the middle of a long hallway wearing the hat. That's fucking scary.
Did it find the hat and put it on and get in the hallway to scare them?
I don't know, but it moves. And that was the worst thing.
Oh, that's like that Doctor Who...
Oh, yeah, the Weeping Angels, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, is that from Doctor Who?
Yes.
I never watched Doctor Who. Has anybody here watched Doctor Who?
I saw the first couple seasons when I was big.
Yeah, I tried. Not for me.
It seems kind of confusing because there's like a bunch of doctors. Like they're all played by different actors and it seems like a lot to keep track of.
Yeah, sorry to our UK listeners. We're not big on Doctor Who.
I'm sure we just like offended like a bunch of people. I'm sure it's really popular. I mean, David Tennant, I know he played one of the doctors. I'm not sure which one. The guy who was in Morbius, wasn't he also a doctor? Who?
Yes, he was.
I can't remember.
The guy from Morbius.
What's his name? I can't remember.
I don't know.
He was the guy. He danced around. Remember that whole scene where he was like sexy?
Oh my God, what was his name? Matt Smith.
Thank you. Oh my goodness.
The guy in 28 Days Later, who the commander of the soldiers, he was a doctor.
Like one of the older ones?
First of the reboot ones. Was the commander of the soldiers in 28 Days Later.
Oh, God, I didn't recognize him at all.
Yeah, that's him. Because that's my favorite horror movie, I couldn't stop seeing that guy when I first saw the first season, because he sounds the same and it's the same dude.
Can we talk about 28 Days Later?
Yes.
I feel like Josh always mentions 28 Days Later, but I haven't seen it for like 20 years, so I don't remember.
Okay, Josh, do you like how in 28 Days Later, the plot completely shifts during the third act?
I thought that was kind of cool, honestly, because
I mean
each act is a little bit tonally different. The first act, Jim's waking up, you're abject panic, he's acclimating to this new world. Then they meet a new family, they're traveling in the countryside, they've left the city. Then it almost turns into this slice of life type deal. Very little tension outside of a couple reminders that there's still an apocalypse on, including Jim beating that one zombie to death inside of a diner for basically no reason.
Oh, I don't remember that. Yeah. Wait,
for no reason. I think it being a zombie is reason enough.
Well, he goes in the diner for basically no reason with a baseball bat. They say, dude, we have plenty of food. Everything in there is going to be spoiled. Why are you doing this? But he's there to just take out his frustrations on this one zombie kid for some reason. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it is interesting. I mean, there's this huge tonal shift when they finally find the soldiers after the lovable dad character in one of the most iconic scenes from a zombie movie gets a single drop of blood in his eye and is infected.
Oh, I remember that scene.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the so scene, cool. It's like a crow is something is like eating a zombie part on top of like a streetlight or something, and he looks up at it and the blood drops into his eye.
And as he starts turning, the soldiers finally reveal themselves because they immediately light him up.
Sounds like you need to add that to your list, Austin.
Oh, I've seen it.
Oh, it's so good.
Alex, I'm surprised you haven't seen it more, given it has Cillian Murphy and his penis.
Oh my. I guess I must have missed that part. I should watch it again, shouldn't
I? Just saying, you love him.
Well, Josh, it looks like we have a movie to add to our list since you love to watch it so much.
What do you think of 28 Weeks Later?
I like it okay. I like the first one much better. I really just... I enjoyed just the low budget, smaller, more grounded plot. I enjoyed a more grounded plot. It's easier when it's just the fate of a handful of people to, you know, latch onto the characters. The first one's more just feels like more like a run of the mill disaster movie. The second one feels more like a run of the mill disaster movie.
Well, that's interesting. We'll have to give it a watch again. Austin, have you seen it in the last 10 years? Because I know that's your cutoff for.
Yes, I have, actually.
Oh, damn. Austin doesn't watch movies if he's watched it at least once in the last 10 years.
I gotta wait for until it's 28 years later.
Oh, okay.
I think the person in the outside is like in the car and going in circles around the parking lot and screaming out for like a dog or something or a cat.
Oh no, somebody lost their pet. That's so sad.
I think that's what they're doing. Okay, anyway, sorry.
I hope they find their pet. Best wishes.
Oh, they're looking for Kaya. That's what they're doing.
Oh, they're looking for Kaya. Perfect, Austin. Perfect transition back into this nonsense mess. Our friends are currently under attack by several paranormal ghost apparitions, whatever, one of which is a small red gremlin-looking thing. It's a ghost, and it transforms itself into a giant djinn-looking monster. It's called Amano Jaku, which is an actual Japanese spirit. Does anybody have any background on the Amano Jaku?
Nope.
I guess I'm the Wikipedia person.
Oh, does Bulbapedia not have anything to say about it?
Unfortunately, no. Okay, so the Amano Jaku translates to heavenly evil spirit. It is described, this is from the Wikipedia, described to be a being with an extremely contrary nature. If they were ordered something, they would do the opposite. It is thought to be able to provoke a person's darkest desires and thus instigates them into perpetrating wicked deeds.
I didn't see any of that in the ghost stories.
No. It says one of the Amano Jaku's best known appearances is in the fairy tale Uriko Hime, translated to Melon Princess, in which a girl miraculously born from a melon is doted on by an elderly couple. They shelter her from the outside world, and she naively lets the Amano Jaku inside one day, where it kidnaps or devours her, and sometimes impersonates her by wearing her flayed skin. That's not this ghost.
No.
This is a different ghost, but it calls itself that, so there you go. They could have, but they didn't. I don't think they're really, like, strictly adhering to the folklore aspect of this. I think they're playing fast and loose.
Not that we would know.
Not that we would know. So they run away and they hide in the principal's office where they find their missing cat, Kaya, who is licking a portrait of Satsuki's mom because Satsuki's mom was the principal of this school at one point.
Which they had never mentioned before.
No, they did not.
Also, do Japanese principal's offices include pictures of all the previous principals?
Don't they?
I suppose.
Do they?
Maybe. I feel like that's a kind of a thing. They just keep portraits of... I don't know. Maybe not.
Just curious.
But while we were never told anything about Satsuki's mom before, Momoko was very familiar with her because she apparently met their mom at some undisclosed time at the Exodus Homosexual Conversion Camp.
Oh!
Yeah. Because this wasn't really ever, like, explained in this. But they kind of mention it. I think it was either this one or the next one. Was her mom, like, a lesbian?
Her mom was tortured at a gay conversion therapy camp, it seems.
How did her mom end up at a gay conversion therapy camp?
The people who are supposed to be her loved ones don't actually love her, I assume.
This is a very strange implication that we get zero explanation for.
I wonder if Japan has gay conversion therapy camps like we do.
I mean, the implication is really horrible considering her mom is dead. Her mom has died.
Oh no! I didn't think of that.
So I'm not sure if the two are related at all, but make of that what you will.
Whoever at ADV Films came in first that day, I bet they were really proud of that plot line.
They don't even say anything, but you know what? Honestly, I feel like the less we know, the better, because it seems horrifying. Yeah. That's the true ghost story, right? I don't know. But yeah, unfortunately, her mom is no longer with us, but thankfully, it seems like mom was like a prolific ghost hunter and like banisher exorcist person. Because
God, mom had a lot going on.
Mom has a crazy fucking life, and I want to know more about mom. Maybe we find out more about mom in some of the later episodes, and we didn't watch far enough. But she has a journal that, like, falls out of the back of the painting or portrait of her, And it has, it's a journal that details like all the ways we can kill these ghosts. So we figure out how to banish the Amano Jaku, and they make it go to sleep to banish it into like a camphor tree, like some kind of tree on the premises. And they think that they're successful because it gets disintegrated and it goes away. Meanwhile, the little brother has lost every single ability to speak. He's just sort of like deteriorated into like incoherent babbling.
Yeah, Shosh, please tell us more about the little brother's dialogue or lack thereof.
So as the episodes go on, they start calling him the R word a lot and imply that he's mentally disabled.
No!
So that joke,
that did not happen in these episodes.
Yeah.
Not yet.
It's a progression. But about halfway through the season, they decide that he has an unspecified mental condition.
They really ran with that, didn't they?
It felt like they intended for him to have dialogue, but they forgot, and so it became incoherent babbling.
I think the voice actor just didn't want to, like, say anything, so they literally just have him go, wah, 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 every time his lip flaps go. It's insane.
Because he was talking at first.
Yeah, he was. He was talking like a normal kid with, like, he was making inputs and, like, contributing to the conversation, but then gradually, like Josh said, it just sort of devolves into like nonsense and he just starts saying nothing. He's just babbling.
Which admittedly, after all those ghosts, I would be scared too.
The caption actually says every time he talks, incoherent babbling.
The subtitles are correct.
Yes. I mean, the horror of that ordeal must have unhinged him to such a degree that he lost all faculties.
I mean, they should all have PTSD.
They seem pretty okay with it. They're just like...
Yeah, hey. They should all be on the ground in the fetal position, unable to function.
If any one of us saw anything remotely close to what happened in this show in, like, real life, we would be beside ourselves, committed into, like, a facility, because it was insane.
I swear to God, there's a dog fight happening outside. Do you not hear that at all?
So it goes from being, like, a lost cat to a dog fight?
Something is going on, and I want to know what. There's possibly ghosts. I don't know.
Maybe you're being haunted.
I want to know more.
Maybe you should investigate. Should we chat?
No. It's better if it's strange noises you can hear in the background. It's appropriate for our Halloween special.
Like that one time we had the really dramatic thunderclap, like when we were talking about.
That happened multiple times. Yeah.
They escape the haunted schoolhouse, and although it only feels like 20 minutes have passed for them, apparently the entire day has passed, and so they've missed all of school. This was like the first day, so of course they're like, oh shit, we missed our first day.
That feels like a classic folktale. Yeah. Time passes differently inside versus out.
But the most interesting revelation that they have is not that time passed or whatever, it's that they actually did not banish the demon as they originally thought, because up on the mountain where that sacred spiritual tree was supposed to be, to where the demon was banished, that tree has actually been cut down in pursuit of apartment and residential development. So instead of the demon going into the tree, it goes into the nearest host, which in this case happens to be, wait for it, Kaya the cat. So now we're dealing with a possessed Kaya who fucking hates them and is going to do everything in his power to make their lives miserable. The end. So what do we think of that?
The whole tree thing really confused me.
There has to be some basis in Japanese folklore mythology that like spirits sleep in trees, or trees are sort of like a vessel or something for spirits. I don't know. Let me see what a camphor tree is. You guys talk and I'm going to find out.
Sure.
I will say there was a haunted tree. You all hear that?
Okay, I do hear the honking now.
Oh my god, the ghosts are coming to get me. There it goes.
That is insane. I would be yelling. Okay, this is a really...
I'm gonna go on mute. Josh, you talk.
This is a really long article about the camphor tree. Apparently, it's a species of an evergreen tree indigenous to warm, temperate to subtropical regions of East Asia, including countries such as China, Taiwan, Vietnam, Korea, and Japan. The picture is an ancient camphor tree believed to be over 1,000 years old in Japan, so they live a long time. Some butterflies like to eat it. Oh, it's an invasive species in Australia.
Nice.
Also, it's here, introduced in 1875. Been declared as a Category 1 invasive species in Florida. That's nice.
Well, let's cut them all down and have the ghosts come out.
Apparently, the wood has an insect-repellent quality.
Nice.
I will say, okay, my story while you're researching
that. Yeah, you go ahead. I'm going to look for something
more interesting. The land that my parents' house is on.
Oh my God, the tree.
Apparently the couple that owned that land when it was like a farmstead before, surprise, surprise, purchased and made into a residential space, they said that there was a tree on the ground that could not be cut down because if the tree was cut down, the ghost would get angry and attack. So because of that, to accommodate this tree, the next door neighbor's house was much closer to the road because they had to have a larger backyard to make sure that tree was still there. Since then, those neighbors have sold the house and a new family has moved in and they cut down the tree.
They did?
Yes.
Oh no, the ghosts are going to be fucking pissed.
If they are haunting them, I am unaware of it because I don't know those people.
Wow. Wait, so where did the origin of their belief of a ghost haunting the tree or the ghost protective of the tree, where did that come from?
I don't know. I wish I knew. I tried to track those people down one time, but then Alex, actually your former college roommate, stopped me from doing it. She said it was an invasion of privacy, and to this day I regret not pursuing it.
I wish you wouldn't have listened.
I wanted to know the story behind the haunted tree.
We could have known the truth, and you let yourself be bullied into not.
Dissuaded.
Yeah. Okay, one last final note on the camphor tree, because I know it's super interesting. It says, certain trees in Japan are considered sacred. An example of the importance of a sacred tree is the enshrined 700-year-old camphor tree growing in the middle of Kayashima Station. Excuse me. It just says they protested against moving the tree when the railway was expanded, so the station built around it. So,
okay.
I guess there's some kind of reverence regarding this tree, but yes, because that tree, they didn't give a shit, just like your new neighbors didn't give a shit. The apartment development people cut down the tree, and now the spirit has to go into the cat. So Kaya is now possessed.
All right, I got a randomizer up.
Oh, now we're going to talk about our MVP, our LVP, and our quote that we liked. Which, there are a lot of good, and when I say good, I mean absolutely unhinged quotes to pick from. So here we go.
Josh, you're first.
Quote.
Followed by Alex and then me.
All right. So you mean just quotes or?
What we do during this section is we each select an MVP of the episode and based on any criteria you would like, an LVP, and a quote. And the rule is, it's kind of a competition, I suppose, because we can't do repeats of what a previous person has said, barring rare exceptions.
Do you have a quote, Josh?
Oh, certainly. MVP is going to be the cat for revealing the mother's journal entries and allowing the main characters to solve their ghost problems. LVP is going to be the kid bringing his cat to school. I mean, catch your robe for bringing a cat to school. That's dangerous for the cat. Come on, man. And my favorite quote is probably, it's okay. Monsters only eat evil people like Republicans. We're not old enough to vote.
Yep. Happy election season, everyone in the U.S.
Yep.
This episode comes out a week and a half before the presidential election. Looking forward to it.
Get out there and vote.
Enjoy that October surprise, people from the future.
All right, who's next?
Alexandra.
Ooh. All right. Gosh, I don't even know. This is so outside of our normal, like, Pokemon MVP, LVP stuff.
Your MVP is Brock.
My MVP is Brock for not being in this episode. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I guess my MVP is going to be Mom. Mom, because she's a badass ghost hunter, apparently, with a wild past that nobody knows about. And I feel really fucking bad for, like, whatever happened to her and, like, her end of life. I feel like she deserved better at the end, but, you know, we have her to thank for being able to save our asses and not be killed by the ghosts. So thanks, Mom. You're the best.
I wonder what insights Dad has on Mom and her crazy backstory.
Does Dad even know, or is Dad like one of those side characters that just lives in a blissful ignorance and like doesn't really know what his wife is up to? Maybe we would find out more about Dad, but we'd have to keep watching. My LVP is going to be Momoko for being an insane person.
Damn it!
I'm sorry, she's an insane person. She fucking attended a gay conversion therapy camp. She's a bad person.
She volunteered at it.
She volunteered!
I will give her the grace of she's a child, so she probably didn't have a choice of volunteering at the conversion therapy camp.
I don't know.
But she still... Fuck that bitch.
I know, yeah. Fuck that bitch. She's crazy. And she really didn't, like, do anything to help. She just kind of stood there uselessly. Okay, my quote, Josh took the best one. Actually, oh my gosh, I guess I didn't write half as many quotes down as I thought. Austin, do you have any I could take?
I have one.
I have one too, but I feel like it's kind of towing the line of appropriate. I mean, I guess that's the whole point of this anime, but...
What about the line when they, at the very end, when somebody tells them they need to go home? Remember how that was played out?
Oh, with the stereotypical gay-sounding patrol guy, like teacher, he was like, go home, you sillies.
I loved him.
I loved him, too. But I feel like there was like a whole quote, but I didn't write it down.
Go home, you sillies.
I have an extra for you, Alex.
Okay, that's the one I was like weighing whether I should say it. All right, I'm going to just say it. This whole, we prefaced this by saying this was completely inappropriate.
Naughty words and war crimes. I mean,
basically. Okay, so when the cat originally finds the knocked over portrait of the mom, Satsuki runs over and she's like, principals always look like lesbians. Mom?
I think it's the subversion of, you think she's just a bitch? And it's like, wait a minute.
That was her mother, yeah. Okay.
Oh, boy.
You go.
All right, my MVP is going to be the teacher who came over with his sassy little walk and then put his hand on his hip like that. And he had his whole, like, really, like, flamboyant accent, you got. Like, I can't even do it. That's just how that's my natural register, so I can't even put it on.
Go home, you sillies.
Come home, you sillies. Oh, look at that kitty cat. Or whatever the hell he was saying.
A cute kitty cat.
He was awesome. I think he could put Momoko in her place if need be.
Yeah.
I wish they would have gotten into it, but they didn't.
My LVP is going to be the teacher from the first scene of the episode who got killed and no one cared. Yeah.
Why was he even there? Like, I'm really struggling to understand that.
Was he a teacher or a janitor or something?
No, he looked like a teacher.
An unknown man.
Not even important enough to have a name.
And he was in the old school, too. What's he doing in the old one?
It made it sound like he thought someone had, like, broken in.
Maybe. But why was he there? It's, like, in the middle of the
night. I don't know. My quote will be, Hajime and Leo are running down the hallway, and they see the motorcycle ghost who doesn't have a head. And Satsuki asks them, what's wrong? And Hajime's response is, he needs some head.
Wow.
Clever.
So this dub, I'm just going to, like, assume that this dub was, like, kids were watching this. Right?
Was this DVD first?
I think this was straight to DVD, actually.
It seems like it, yeah.
Yeah, but were parents, like, buying this for their kids, thinking, like, oh, look, a funny little spooky thing or whatever, like...
I feel like we were in the age of the only way to get anime was to download really shitty quality AVI videos on the internet and get a bunch of viruses.
That's true.
Or buy the DVDs that cost like $80 for 4 episodes.
I mean, I guess any kid who's going out of their way to do that has already been exposed to pretty much everything, so this is probably nothing.
Josh, were you an anime kid in school?
Not really.
No.
I watched some of the early Pokemon episodes, Yu-Gi-Oh! When it was on. I just watched whatever was on, and on public access around the time I happened to be a kid, that wound up being mostly anime. I mean, actually, I liked Toonami and stuff, too, on Cartoon Network.
Oh, so. Classic.
Next episode.
You ready to summarize the toilet episode?
All right. Let's see if I can do better than the last time.
Remember, you got 30 seconds. I'm going to try to do this time.
All right. Austin's going to do it.
3, 2, 1, go.
So we begin with an idyllic landscape and a couple of construction workers. Turns out they're bulldozing the whole area, about to release all those evil spirits undoing all the mom's work, including one demon who lives in a well. They fill in the well, releasing the spirit, who becomes the Skibbity Toilet Man. Of course, they're offering people red or blue paper, harassing others, clogging toilets, just time. Generally...
You're really good at summarizing the first scene.
It's hard. Look, like, we get it. You know, it's hard
I need to zoom out and do broader strokes.
Yeah, basically like a beat for beat. You know, what's the highlights? Yeah. Good job, though. I wasn't expecting the Skibbity Toilet jump scare, but there we go.
That might be our episode title, actually. Like, Skibbity Yokai?
Skibbity Yokai. Oh my god, I actually That's love good, it.
Yes.
I'll pass over the first scene since we covered that. The spooky toilet ghost appears, by the way, to be able to jump from any toilet, because he came out of a porta potty this first scene.
As if porta potties weren't already scary enough, like a horror unto their own, but then to have like a hand come out of the porta potty would, like, oh my god, I don't know.
Oh, and it's one of those ones you squat in, too.
I hated that. Like, I hate sitting on a toilet, don't get me wrong, but I don't want to squat over a hole in the ground.
Like, okay, I have a genuine question. I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but, like, okay, so the toilet holes, at least as they were depicted, I don't know if this is true for Japan or, like, is it just depicted this way in the anime? It was literally, like, a hole in the floor. Is that common?
It's common in India.
My question is...
And parts of Eastern Europe.
Yes, but my question is, like, okay, imagine you have to... I mean, peeing for guys is easy because you can pee out in front of you or whatever. But, like, imagine you have to, like, take a shit. Do you have to take your whole pants off? Because, like, if you're just standing above the toilet, you don't want to get, like, shit on your pants. Like, do you have to take your whole pants off?
Yeah, it just seems precarious.
There's a scene of the teacher in this episode squatting over one, and he has his pants on, so...
Like, but how... Like,
I missed that.
Is he, like, squatting so his butt is sticking out? Because I feel like, how are you supposed to hold that
and
position?
And he's holding his pants down at his knees, so it's not in the way.
So... His ass is sticking out and he's kind of like resting his elbows on his knees. Is that what's happening? Like,
yeah.
That sounds so much it's work just to shit. Like, how are you supposed to do that?
Apparently those toilets are really cheap though.
Okay. I have heard that like sitting on a toilet is not good, at least from a female perspective. I can't say the same thing about men, but for a female perspective, sitting like in an L shape like that is bad for your pelvic floor muscles. So, I don't know. It's not a natural way to go to the bathroom, according to some. But I'm like, well, how do you go to the bathroom then? Like, what's the correct way to go to the bathroom?
There is no correct way.
There's like a whole science behind it. I don't know. Anyway.
The ghost asks, red paper or blue paper? And my first thought was, is this the Matrix?
Morpheus.
But it becomes clear the animation that it's not the Matrix. It's actually what they were happened.
Is Morpheus the toilet ghost?
Maybe. At Satsuki's house, she and Kaya the cat are arguing over their new status quo. There's some bullshit where she's like, you are a cat, you eat cat food. He doesn't want to eat cat food. So they go to school, Kaya and Kichiro, whatever his name is. They run into Hajime and Leo. Satsuki flashes her panties again when she trips over because it turns out Kaya the cat has psychic powers.
That is, well, the demon has psychic powers.
The demon has psychic powers, and he makes Satsuki fall over so that Hajime can see Satsuki's panties. Yay!
We're just going to keep running with that joke.
Yeah, and then they do a fake-out romance where she blushes after gets a panty shot of her twice.
Oh, yeah.
God.
That caught me by surprise, actually. Because the dub makes it so clear they're so combative.
But isn't that kind of the trope? It's like the main female lead and the main male lead, like they have this contemptuous relationship, but they like secretly like each other. It's very Inuyasha and Kagome in the early days.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking Han Solo and Leia.
I mean, it's almost like it's a trope or something.
Well, these guys are no Han and Leia, sadly. We all go to the school and we get some more exposition about the trees by looking through Mom's old book. But apparently she wrote this book when she was in the fifth grade.
Yeah.
So just adding more layers to her story. And Hajime has to take shit. But before he's able to do so, all the toilets and all the faucets, yes, Alex?
I'm sorry. I just have to make this point because I think I was talking with Josh about this at some point. I don't remember the context of it. But I'm actually, this may be a hot take, I kind of feel like this plot is refreshing because in how many shows or video games or whatever, do you actually have a character referencing having to go to the bathroom?
Not often.
So
the Brady Bunch couldn't even have a toilet in their bathroom.
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
What?
In the Brady, okay, the Brady boys and the Brady girls have a Jack and Jill bathroom that they share. There's not a toilet in that room.
Why could they not show a toilet?
Because that's obscene.
Hold on, I gotta Google this now. I'm curious.
I will say Mr. and Mrs. Brady did share a bed though, and that was one of the first ones, not the first one, but one of the early ones.
That was pretty heavy stuff,
pretty racy.
Okay, apparently according to a quick Google search, the first toilet to appear on screen happened on Leave It to Beaver in 1957 when the kids buy a pet alligator and hide it in the toilet tank.
Did not know that.
So we can thank Leave It to Beaver for pioneering the toilet in modern cinema.
I guess the toilet was very plot relevant in that storyline.
They had to hide it somewhere.
Hmm.
Anyway, I don't know. I feel like you never hear characters referencing personal habit. Like, oh, I have to actually go to the bathroom. So it was kind of a different... It was different.
I have a question for the audience.
What's that?
Because I can't think of a single instance. If you can think of a single instance of a toilet appearing in Pokemon, the series...
Oh my god.
Write it and let us know, because I can't think of a single one.
Have they not gone into a bathroom?
I can't think of one.
Oh my god, now I'm really thinking about it.
All right, we'll have to come back to that.
Wow.
But toilets do exist in the world of ghost stories, and Hajime is going to use one, but all of the water in the entire school burst out in an impossible amount of water flooding through the school, which would cause thousands and thousands of dollars of damage. But we don't reflect on that very much. All we know is that our teacher says that you have to go to the bathroom, you gotta go to the old schoolhouse that's haunted by, like, thousands of ghosts all over the damn place. And you have to squat over the weird hole-in-the-ground toilet and just shit. When, what was the teacher's name? I missed it.
Josh, do you remember?
Mr. Sakata.
Sakata.
That's right.
Yeah, the principal's name is Hadley and he's Sakata.
So Mr. Sakata has to go to the bathroom. So he goes to the old haunted schoolhouse and immediately gets captured by the toilet hand creature that asks for the red paper or the blue paper. Mr. Hadley, the school principal, is very alarmed by this. So he goes to check out the girls' locker room to find Mr. Sakata.
Classy.
And then Sasuke decides that she's the hero of this story. So she has to go investigate to save Mr. Sakata, I guess. And so Hajime goes to join her. And so does Leo. But Mr. Hadley, who is incredibly incompetent, comes and takes Leo away and lets the other two go into the old haunted schoolhouse without him. Thankfully, Kichiro is MIA for most of this episode, other than the fact that he pisses himself at some point.
Do we want any background on this ghost? Because as you were speaking, I was Googling to see what the origins of this ghost creature was.
I would love to know more about the Skibidi Yokai, yes.
Skibidi Yokai. Okay, so the Skibidi Yokai in this show is called Akagami Aogami, which is translated as red paper, blue paper, and is based on the urban legend of Akamanto. So I'm going to read about Akamanto. That translates to red cloak. Akamanto, also known as red cape, red vest, Akaikami Aokami, red paper, blue paper, is a Japanese urban legend about a masked spirit who wears a red cloak and who appears to people using toilets in public or school bathrooms.
Oh, specifically school bathrooms. Okay.
Sure. Accounts of the legend vary, but one consistent element of the story is that the spirit will ask the occupant of a toilet a question. In some versions, he will ask if they want red paper or blue paper, which is the toilet paper, I guess. Although other versions identify the choices as a red cloak or a blue cloak or a cape. What?
I guess you're wearing something fashionable to go to the toilet in?
So it says choosing either option will result in the individual being killed, so the individual must ignore the spirit or reject both options and flee in order to survive.
Oh, that seems much easier than I thought they would have to do.
Oh, he's said to haunt female bathrooms specifically. Creepy implications.
Not in this, thankfully.
And he's described to be handsome and charming beneath his mask.
So, did we see him? Did we get a look at him?
No, we just see the hand. See the red hand. If they choose the red option, they will be lacerated in such a manner as that their dead body will be drenched in their own blood. If they choose blue, the consequences range from being strangled or drained of your blood. Oh, this does come up later. If they choose a different option, you go to hell.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well, guess what happened in this episode, you guys?
Yeah, keep going.
The two main kids, Satsuki and Hajime, they have a moment where Satsuki thinks that he's confessing his love for her. Turns out he's confessing that he still needs to take a shit. God damn it. So they go into the haunted girls' bathroom. So I guess they really do only go to the girls' bathroom.
Why is it always the girls' bathroom?
That raises the question that Mr. Sakata went to the girls' bathroom in the abandoned school.
Well, to be fair.
Girls' locker room, too. I mean.
To be fair, nobody was there. Nobody was there. Does it really matter which bathroom you go in if it's abandoned?
I guess not.
I mean, at that point, it's just a toilet.
Well, Hajime didn't want to go in the girls' bathroom. And they did say students go to the bathroom in the other school. So there could have been people in there. And Turns out there is someone in there because Momoko is also taking a shit in the girls' bathroom.
She's just there, inexplicably.
She thought she had to take a shit, but turns out God had instructed her to go take a shit.
Oh my god.
Okay, so...
Shitting is all part of God's plan.
It's all part of God's plan for you to shit. Hanako, the toilet ghost from previous episode, appears, and she says that she... Well, we figure out she was warning them about the evil ghost, the red paper, blue paper ghost.
I kind of love Hanako. She's like a nice ghost.
She's Moaning Myrtle before Moaning Myrtle.
I know.
Momoko is going to get dragged into the abyss by the hand, and I'm like, just let her fucking go. She had it coming. God himself tried to get rid of her. But instead, what happens is Hajime gets grabbed instead. And while we could grab Momoko away from the demon, there's a force field preventing us from grabbing Hajime and dragging him away.
I feel like we didn't talk about the really scary thing that happened. Like, forget this toilet.
What was the really scary?
The toilet ghost is nothing. The toilet ghost is funny. That fucking floating anatomy dummy.
Oh, yeah.
That was really scary, actually.
That was scary for 3 seconds when I thought it was actual gore. And then it was just an anatomical dummy.
Yeah, but that was... It started out thinking, like, oh my god, this is an actual, like, eviscerated person with, like, an exposed brain and stuff, like, floating at them down the hallway.
Nope, it was cheap plastic.
It was a plastic dummy. But still, that was a scary... That was scary, I think.
Josh, were you scared?
It was neat. Ooh. I liked that one.
Did we get an explanation for that? Was that just a random ghost?
I guess. Yep.
Okay, whatever.
Yikes.
They never elaborate.
So Hajime, they tell him, don't say the red paper because that will get you eviscerated. Don't say the blue paper because you'll get choked to death. So he randomly says yellow paper, and the ghost is like, yellow paper? And then drags him to hell because Kaya informs us that if you say anything other than red or blue, you get dragged to hell. Thankfully, God is real, and God provides a a little vase that they can use as a water jar. Because, obviously, Mom's spellbook has this whole thing where if you take a jar of water and say an incantation, it will ward off the toilet ghost. So, Satsuki gets the random glass bottle that God provided. She cries a magical sparkling tear into it, and that activates its magical properties, which allows her to say her chant and save Hajime so he can go on to have sex with someone other than his babysitter.
Oh my god. That was... horrible.
Alright, so he's saved for another day. Mr. Sakata is ejected from the toilet hell, covered in shit and piss and period blood. Just like he likes it.
Fucking gross. Oh my god.
And... oh, they talk with the demon cat, and they say, Kaya, if you want to get out of that cat body, you got to help us get rid of all these ghosts, because that's the only way you're ever going to get out. And he's like, no, I'm just going to be disagreeable. And then the episode's done.
Oh, it really makes you wonder what wacky adventures are going to happen next.
We'll find out next time.
We'll find out in a year from now when we do another Halloween episode.
Oh, maybe.
Oh my god, you guys, what did you think of that?
Definitely a bit more racy than we usually cover in Out of the Drying Pan.
Yeah,
I would just say. Just a bit. Yeah, that bit about the babysitter really caught us off guard.
Sorry, that was someone's quote.
No, but what a line. Now, I'm really racking my brain over thinking whether or not Pokemon ever had a bathroom in it, and I really just don't think that there ever has been.
Well, you can't think for long, because you're first for MVP, LVP quote, and then me, then Josh.
Oh, god. This is really hard. My LVP, I guess, is going to be... Oh, man, I really don't know. This is tough. Okay, my LVP is going to be Kaya, or Amanojaku, for just being a dickhead. Like, he doesn't want to be in the cat body, but, like, he's not... doing anything to like help his situation. He's just like, I'm gonna be a thorn in your side and there's nothing you can do about it. I imagine that the adventures are still yet to come with him.
I wonder what the resolution to his storyline is. I guess we'll never know because the entire anime did not cover the entire manga.
Did it not?
Isn't that what you said, Josh?
If I remember correctly, I could be completely wrong.
Damn. I do want to finish the show. I think I'm gonna go pod and finish.
All right, y'all do that. I'll abstain.
You've got other things to work on, I know. My MVP is going to be...
Your MVP?
Yeah, my LVP was Kaya.
Oh, he's your LVP. I thought he was your MVP.
No, my MVP... he's my LVP. My MVP is going to be Hanako the Bathroom Ghost. Hanako was a nice ghost. She helped them out. She's trying to warn them, and she didn't, like, she's not actively trying to, like, attack them or whatever. She's just hanging out in her bathroom, just, like, doing her thing, you know.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it real. Thanks, Hanako. My quote, oh my god, there are so many good ones. Which one to pick? I'm gonna, okay, if somebody doesn't say this, I'm gonna have more than one, but whatever. I'm just gonna start with this one. When Satsuki trips over the can that Amano Jaku uses his powers on, Leo, the friend, says, "This is fascinating. Even though trapped in a cat's body, he's still able to use his ghostly powers. Kind of like David Blaine."
Yeah, there was a lot of contemporary references.
There were so many. Oh my god. I have others, so.
I'll do the next one. My quote was, Hajime gets slapped in the face by Satsuki, and he says, "I got beat up by the ghost of Gloria Steinem." My MVP is going to be no one.
What? That's a cop-out answer.
I know. Okay. I'll give it to Satsuki, because I liked her one quote that I will use if Josh doesn't want to use it later. And my LVP is going to be Momoko for being Momoko.
No explanation needed.
No explanation needed.
My MVP is going to be the cat for being a contrary dick. You're just moving the plot along.
That's what I thought Alex gave him the MVP. I thought she also liked him being a contrary dick.
I'm actually going to give him MVP. LVP is going to be Leo for getting caught by the principal and not contributing anything to the episode as a result.
Oh yeah, he did get caught by the principal.
Quote's going to be what the principal said to him. Older boys in detention are going to love you.
That is so out of pocket.
I think I forgot LVP, actually.
No, you said it, Leo.
Oh, well, my other LVP was going to be the principal for knowingly hiring a pervy teacher as well.
And
apparently allowing prison shenanigans to happen in detention.
Ugh, that's fucked up.
Gross. All right, my other quote was going to be Satsuki's line that I gave her MVP for. And I can't do it justice because it was really the delivery that sold it. She's reading from the book and she says, "Answer red and blood will rain from the ceiling and you'll turn all red." Okay, that's gross. "Answer blue and you'll turn blue because you'll be strangled. These are our options." And she says it really fast.
I'm glad she was questioning it because it is bullshit.
Yeah.
Apparently you just have to walk away.
Right? You just have to like run away and that's all it takes. I have a couple other quotes if that's okay.
Of course.
There's so many good ones. The one where she's outside, it was between classes and Satsuki is discussing the bathroom ghost situation with Momoko. And she says, "I don't suppose you know a good exorcist or Al Sharpton, do you?" And Momoko says, "I don't think he's a real reverend."
That would have been my other one.
And then there's another one at the beginning when Satsuki's exasperated that Kaya is starting to follow them around. She's like, "I can't believe our sweet cat is now possessed by a Keebler elf reject with bad gas." All right. Well, that was super fun. We love ghost stories. We've been talking about this for quite a while. We wish that Jacob would have been here as well to enjoy it, but he's watched it before, I think.
It was his idea.
Yeah, it was his idea. So thank you, Jacob, for the good suggestion. We appreciate it in spirit.
In spirit?
Yeah, I did it on purpose.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Josh, thank you so much for joining us. This was super fun. We were glad to have you on as our third co-host. And
oh, thanks for having me.
Talking about this wild anime. Okay, Austin, I do have to say, what do we think of, in comparison with Monster in My Pocket from last year, how do we think?
What do we think? What are we based on our criteria?
Like, between this and Monster in My Pocket, like, which was the more, what was your favorite of the Halloween episodes, I guess?
Monster in My Pocket, actually, because it was more weird and more, like, obscure.
There was an actual connection to Pokemon as well.
It felt like we were discovering something no one had ever seen before. You know what I mean?
I'm glad we could shine a light on Monster in My Pocket.
I hadn't heard of that.
There's a good reason for that. It's not anything.
I would invite you to go back and listen to that episode if you're curious.
Oh, cool.
I like them both. I think they're both fun in their own ways, but I'm going to finish it for sure.
Oh, God knows what our next Halloween episode is going
to
be.
We have a year to think about it, so.
We could watch all the Leprechaun movies in order.
That's on next on my list.
God, no.
Oh, my God. I'm considering that. Y'all are invited to watch the Leprechaun movies.
I'll watch it. I'm down to clown.
That sounds like a good time.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in to our Halloween episode of Out of the Drying Pan. We hope you had just as much fun as we did listening, as we did discussing it. What do we have next week, Austin?
Two episodes from Pokemon Master Quest that I do not remember very well, if at all.
What are they?
Outrageous Fortunes and One Trick Phony.
One trick phony. God, I want to guess, but I know I'm going to be wrong.
Go ahead and guess. Outrageous Fortunes.
Meowth?
You know what? I honestly don't remember enough to say.
Okay. And phony, Mr. Mime. I don't know.
No.
Damn, I'm always wrong. Again, I just want to say thank you all for joining us. Thank you for listening. If you ever want to get in touch with us, you can do so at outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Or you can follow us over on Twitter or X at outofdryingpan. We also have an Instagram. You can reach out to us there at outofthedryingpan. And if you like what we do and want to support this podcast, you can hop over to our Patreon. We've got some really awesome tiers and perks for any subscribers, so go ahead and check that out. Link in our description. Thank you so much for listening. We hope we see you next week as the journey continues. And have a happy Halloween. Stay safe, everyone.